All righty, let's get a show together. This is the Leafs Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com. It is Sunday, January 28th, 2024. If you're in the market for an F-150, I have like $13,000 to $15,000 off 2023 units right now. XLTs, XLs, Lariats. You got to get at me, at Norm at Oak Ridge Ford. When you click on our links, you check me out on Instagram. You come in, sit down with me. We do some things, potentially purchase, lease a car. You're helping the project that you know and love and you count on every week as the Leafs Convo. Mr. Augello, what a difference a week and a bit makes. What a difference a couple of months make in the life of Ilya Samsonov. The Leafs run a three-game win streak, winning in Seattle, coming home to beat the Jets, and then going back out to Winnipeg and beating the mighty Jets, not just some shitbox team, but one of the best teams in the league to this point. And Ilya Samsonov, central to not one, not two, but all three of the victories. It's a feel-good story, and in a season of a multitude of different storylines, we'll take it. Let's enjoy it. Good morning, Mr. Augello.
Good morning, Norm. All right, let's start with Samsonov because, yeah, I mean, okay, again, when he was struggling, I had sympathy for him. I hope that, you know, I said he had a broken psyche and, right. You know, his career in Washington was sort of strewn with ups and downs. He has a lot of ability. And when he played well, he played really well for them. But the problem was that it was the troughs. It was the downturns that really made them not want to qualify him when he was a restricted free agent. The Leafs rolled the dice on him. He had a really good year. He saved their bacon when Matt Murray got hurt. He played well in the playoffs. Then he got hurt. This year, he has never played well up until after they gave him this almost month-long break where it was a mental and physical reset. He didn't play badly against Detroit in his first game. He wasn't the reason that they lost. He played fairly well against Seattle in the final game of the four-game road swing. He only faced, I think it was 17 shots on goal, so they protected him, and they did a pretty decent
low-event game.
But the game on Wednesday was anything but low event. I mean, he saved their ass. I mean, yeah. He was fantastic. And that was the only reason that they got 2 points or even a point in that game. The 2-0, the saves on the 2-0 break, shorthanded break, saved their game. I mean, and he played really well last night. So yeah. If he's back on track, that's a good thing for this team, because right now they're, I would say, probably 3 weeks away from getting Joseph Woll back. And really, the evaluation here on Samsonov, you'll take it at the end of the year. But do I think that this team is going to re-sign Ilya Samsonov? Probably not, because of the inconsistency. Right. But they do need two goalies, because Woll has had an injury history, but they like the positive direction of where Woll is going. Right. He's making less than $800,000. They're going to need another goaltender. So if the price is right, sure, they'd bring Samsonov back. And apparently the team was very supportive of him, and Brad for Living did the right thing for him. All these things are positives, and the fact that he has bounced back is a good thing. But does it instill the organization with a high level of confidence that he can keep this going? No, they won't say that, but I would suspect if you gave them sodium pentothal and you asked them, do you completely trust Ilya Samsonov going forward for the rest of the year? They would probably say no.
This is the Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com is the website you're going to go to for your next vehicle. I represent the place. I also represent your favorite Sunday morning YouTube podcast. That is the Leafs Convo. Let's meld them together and let's get some business done. I'm going to go through a couple of the comments here. Wilfred Witzke, Leafs looked good last night. Yep. They've looked good this past week. Sevy CDC, good morning, gentlemen. Great show as always, Sevy. Thanks for being here. Alistair Arbor, hey, folks, how's it going? Last call for Sammy. I hope he can keep this role going. And that's the whole thing, right, guys? We want Ilya Samsonov to do what he can to stay in the lineup and, by extension, keep this team afloat in the division race and, you know, keep it from regressing and keep it in a position where the progress is happening on a, you know, week to week basis towards the deadline and then beyond that. And then, you know, when the playoffs happen, we'll just see how the puck bounces. Handshake line respect. After the first goal, I was worried, but he bounced back and he was solid. It really is remarkable. 75 shots over this three-game run against Ilya Samsonov, only three goals against. It's just an incredible turn of fortune here, Mike. And it's sports, it's psychology, it's life, it's a whole bunch of stuff. In a few weeks, he may be back riding the pine. In a few weeks, it would be nice to see him integrated in a tandem with Jones and then a bit of a triumvirate with Mr. Wall when he comes back. By any means necessary, and if a good Ilya Samsonov, who's playing professional hockey with a lot of the, you know, the mental stuff left behind, that's good for him, for his career, and of course, that's good for the Maple Leafs. And all we just want to see is this team just get better each and every time it takes the ice. Maybe I'm too optimistic, Mike.
Yeah, I think Handshake has got it right in the sense that I think everybody was thinking, oh, that was not a great goal. And, you know, he was screened, so it was tough, but he didn't crumble. And that was the thing. He's crumbled in the past where he gave up a bad goal or a questionable goal, and then he just decompensated. And he didn't do that last night. He made a couple really good saves. Remember, that game was 1-1 into the third period before John Tavares scored it wasn't the game winner because they Winnipeg scored a late goal, but it was the goal that put them ahead.
When he saved the day on that 2-on-none, what does that do to him psychologically? Anything, or is it just
on Wednesday? I would assume it infuses him with a bunch of confidence. I mean, and I think that, you know, honestly, there are certain instances where the crowd cheering for a player does give them something, and the fact that they gave him a standing ovation. I mean, obviously, Leafs fans know that him at least being consequential is going to be the difference between them making and missing the playoffs, because it's still not a guarantee that they make the playoffs, although, you know, they're up by 6 or 7 points in the Eastern Conference playoff standings. But they need Samsonov to be a difference maker until Wall gets back, and then tandem with Wall for the rest of the year. So the fact that they cheered him and gave him the props that he deserved and the first star and the belt and all the stuff, that's a good thing.
He needs that. He needs that. They're million-dollar athletes, but they're people first, right? When they do well, we idolize them, we pedestalize them. We believe they are holier than thou. We create them into these massive figures. And then when they do poorly, we shit all over them. And Samsonov has faced a whole ton of adversity from the media, from the fan base, I'm sure internally, from maybe his family, his friends, himself. And then this nice little bounce back. By extension, it helps the Maple Leafs to get to where they want to go. Jason Sparks, listen, a good supporter of the show. All hail Reeves, the king of the jungle. 9 minutes, a little redirect goal, and tries to fight Nick Ehlers. Definitely, in my books, the king of the fucking jungle. Absolutely, Jason. You're spot on.
Oh, God. give me a break. Okay, first of all, give him credit that he actually played well.
Sure. Okay, good.
That's honestly probably the second game of the 21 or 22 games that he's played this season that he's played well. He got a goal against Chicago. He's not a goal scorer. He's supposed to be an intimidative force, and he's been hardly that, you know, fighting Arbor Jack guy or not being able to catch anybody, which he wasn't able to. That does not exactly spring to mind an intimidative force. He was off for a month. If he didn't have energy after being off for a month, then he shouldn't be in the league anymore. And he was playing in his hometown. So, you know, come on. Now, okay.
If he plays like that last night, Mike, what are the odds he continues to play like that?
If he plays like that, sure, but okay, he's played like that once or twice. The rest of the time, he's been a liability. And somebody said in the chat, he's like, what's his plus minus? I think he's like minus 12, and the guy's playing averaging like 7 minutes a night. He's been a liability. And the only reason he was in the lineup last night is because Yarncroke broke a knuckle, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So will he get another chance? Sure, because he played a good game. But if he resorts back to the way where he was before, he should be waived and sent to the Marlies.
Right.
And there are players down with the Marlies. Like, I mean, even though Alex Steeves is leading the team in scoring. Is he going to provide any intimidation? No, but he's a quality player and he could fit in on the fourth line. What the Yarncroke injury does is give more opportunities to other guys. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Reeves is not one of them. If he continues to play like he did against Winnipeg, fine. But I don't expect him to do that. And if he doesn't, he belongs not on the bench. He belongs in the minors.
I like Reeves, the idea of Ryan Reeves. In practice, I have not been impressed. That Canadian white trash guy, really, really, really good stuff in community. Below the post, I implore you to go read his stuff. He knows his game. Toronto is playing better positioning lately, and this makes Checkers look better. I mean, it wasn't just the Ilya Samsonov show this past week, Mike. I mean, coming out of that Vancouver game where it just got a little bit pear-shaped. Well, it started with the low event game. Yeah. They were expected to not overcome the Jets, maybe equal with them, but not overcome them. And then with Sammy coming back and the way these guys have played, it's not like Samsonov was the victor in a 5-6 blow them out. It was these were tight, intense games. And at the end of the day, the Leafs only gave up 3 goals over the 3 games. And if you can get, you know, 1 goal against per game or maybe a little bit more, you're going to be really successful. So that Canadian white trash guy is onto something here.
And one of the goals was a throwaway late in regulation. Right. But I'll dispute it a little bit because the game against Seattle was definitely a low event game. Seattle is not a particularly good team and not particularly playing well right now and without some of their better players, but you beat the team that's in front of you. And that's a good thing. The game against the Jets, the Leafs were making a lot of giveaways. That's the reason why Samsonov had to stand on his head at times. I mean, they did not play. It was 1-0 purely on Samsonov. They did not play well defensively. Now, they did play well defensively against Winnipeg in Winnipeg, but I would say that, you know, maybe positionally against the Jets on Saturday they did, but I didn't. Their power play was bad. They gave up shorthanded scoring chances. They gave up 5-on-5 scoring chances, and Samsonov was up to the task. But, you know, there is still something to be desired for this team to show a level of consistency defensively, and I think the loss of Yarncroke hurts that because he is one of their better two-way players. And it sounds like he's going to be out for, you know, at least a month with a broken knuckle. So, I mean, now they're going to have other players step up and fill that spot.
Right. Yeah. Handshake line respect. We respect your handshake. Reeves brings something that you don't see. His presence alone keeps the other team in check. What are you talking about?
Handshake.
This pantheon of heavyweights. Ryan Reeves is probably 1,000 of all time. Like, I'm just throwing out a number because he's just like so irrelevant. Who is scared of him? Like, what? How many guys has he dropped this year? Like, literally punched the fuck out, knocked them out, and every time he gets on the ice, everybody scrambles. Zero. What are you talking? I get it. In the idea of it is great, but I'm sorry. This guy does not equate to all the things you think he is.
Handshake.
Absolutely not.
This is the problem. You're thinking of the 32-year-old Ryan Reeves, not the 37-year-old Ryan Reeves. Now, again, he played really well last night against Winnipeg. He was, you know, hadn't played in 6 weeks. Yeah. If he wasn't energized, I mean, I'm sure he's heard people like me and other people out there saying he should be waived to the American Hockey League. If he wasn't infused with confidence and infused with energy, I would question whether he had anything left. Okay, he's got something left. But the thing is, honestly, they need that every game. And if they don't get that from a guy who's playing we're not talking about a guy who's playing 19 minutes a night. Right. We're talking about a guy who's playing 7 minutes a night. And if he can't bring it on 7 minutes a night, he does not belong in the NHL.
Look, he's earned another opportunity based on what happened last night in the right place at the right time, redirecting a shot. When he scored that goal, don't you think I'm happy for him? But guys, I mean, I'm wondering just how, facetious you're being when you're describing this guy as somebody who is a patrolman out there who the other team fears. It's remarkable. If he only plays 4 or 5 minutes a night, what kind of impact can he have? And if he plays more than that, how much of a detriment is he to what the Leafs are trying to accomplish? Like team, it's team toughness that the Leafs don't have, right? Team toughness is something that's super important, but it's ingrained from the very beginning, and you have to have it in your system. These guys don't have it. Like Ryan Reeves, again, the thought of a guy coming out to police things or to, you know, let the other team know that there will be repercussions if you take liberties with our guys is great. But Ryan Reeves, in terms of the guy who he is, I'm sorry, he leaves so much to be desired in that regard. Like from all his opportunities this year, what have they amounted to? And also the idea that he can beat everybody up, I haven't seen it. Like how many times has he just knock guys out and beat guys up? And, you know, you instill that fear even in fans watching because you don't know who the hell is he's going to kick the shit out of next.
You have to catch them to beat right. them. That's the problem. That's the problem. You have to be able to catch them to beat them. And last night, late in the game, he's on the ice, and they figured, okay, you know, we're up 4-1. What harm can it do to have the fourth line out there? And they had played well.
Right.
Okay, so Mason Appleton pushes Jake McCabe from behind, and it's on, and there was almost a couple fights. And who did Ryan Reeves pair up with? Josh Morrissey. Josh Morrissey is not going to drop the gloves with Ryan Reeves. Neither is Nick Ehlers. So if you're talking about intimidating, well, then you go out and beat up Adam Lowry or somebody who's a physical guy. Now, if you're playing the Florida Panthers and you come up against Ryan Lomborg, as somebody mentioned in the chat, or Sam Bennett or something like that, that might be a game where he makes a difference. But the problem is that he's on the ice. It's not like you can place him on there and all of a sudden he gets into a fight. He's playing a shift and he's a liability on most nights. So, you know, if you're going to limit him to, okay, you drop them in when you want to fight, that'd be great, but it doesn't work that way. The guy has to be able to play a shift. And that's the thing. He has not been able to be much less of a liability on most nights. If he could play like he played against the Jets, then I'm all for playing him because he made a difference last night, but can he do that on a consistent basis? I'm skeptical.
Look, the OGs and converts are like you and I, Mike. We want team toughness. We want a team that doesn't back down. We want a team that's going to go into the trenches. We want guys who can play that way. So in theory, what Ryan Reeves is supposed to bring is we appreciate that and we're excited to see it. But in the fits and spurts that Ryan Reeves has been a part of this movement in 23 and 24, there's just not a lot to be excited about. Now, last night, after being out of the system for a month, he gets in and plays 9 minutes. He looked physical. He redirected a goal. Good for him personally. He's earned another opportunity. So what will it bring? What will it bring? The idea, you know, again, is he just so feared that nobody wants to fight him and that every time he gets on the ice, the other team is now in check? In theory, you guys are calling it great. I want to see it in practice. And if over the course of the next month and he's in and out of the lineup and getting his 5 to 6, 7 minutes and doesn't have much of an impact, this idea this idea is just an idea. It's not reality. So, hey, based on what happened last night, let's see how it goes, after the All-Star break. And then, you know, Ilya Samsonov's looking a little bit better. Austin Matthews' 40th goal. Mike, like, it's just massive. I mean, is he going to score 70 this year, or is he, like, mid to low 60s?
I think he's going to break his record, which was 60. I don't know if he's going to get 70, but he's on pace to – I think he's on pace to fall just below 70, but you know, he scores a hat trick and then he's back over that. I didn't look at the average, but I'll just say this finally to put a cap on this particular game. Ryan Reeves scores and Simone Benoit scores his first goal as a Leaf.
Yeah.
I should basically make my marriage proposal to birthday girl Sarah McLaughlin now before the apocalypse happens, because the thing that the Simone Benoit and Ryan Reeves score in the same game.
Right.
Please. That's a sign of the end times. Right now, you know, the Leafs are 25-14-8. They've gone through a bunch of injuries. They've gone through a bunch of slumps. And we John Tavares scored his first goal in 11 games last night. That was an important goal for him to get him off the schneid.
Bert had a goal that got called back. That should have counted.
I think that was a really bad no goal call. But you know, Matthews is the consistent one. He blasts the one timer. I mean, you know, they played a very solid game against a very good team. Now, I was going to make this point before, and again, you play the team in front of you. But Winnipeg was without their number one center in Mark Scheifele and their number two center in Gabe Vilardi. So they, you know, that's like playing the Leafs and not having Tavares and Matthews.
Good though, Mike. Good.
But you have, yes, you have to beat the team that's in front of you, and you know, and that so you don't take away from that. But you just have to be. It has to be said that that's who they played. That team scored one goal in two games because they were without two of their best offensive players.
Yeah, well, you need to take advantage of your opportunities when they present themselves.
Sure.
Right. And look, it's been a great week. It's been a great week on the stat sheet. It's been a great week when you consider the progression that the team had needed to make. It's been a great week for individuals. And Simon Benoit, Ryan Reeves, Ilya Samsonov. Like, you're getting contributions from other people you may not expect on most nights to contribute. All the while, you know, Tavares breaking his slump. Tyler Bertuzzi's trying to figure it out. He couldn't catch a break last night. William Nylander's not scoring at the pace he once was. But again, Mike, you need the complete mosaic of the team to be functioning properly to get anywhere, right?
Yeah, well, I agree. And, you know, you need to be able to have other people step up when a guy like Tavares, who's been the picture of consistency, does not, you know, goes through the longest goal drought since his rookie year with the Islanders. It was 10 games. He scored an important goal. Hopefully that, you know, that loosens things up and he goes off on a streak. Now, again, you know, I tend to be critical of William Nylander. Shocking. I'm sure everybody is shocked out there. But since he signed the contract, he's got two goals. He was on a 45 goal pace, and now all of a sudden
it's just a coincidence.
And it's bull crap. It's not a coincidence. He was motivated to put up big numbers when the big money was on the line, and now that he's got his
eight-year deal,
he's being complacent, Mr. Willie, again.
OG's Commerce, what do you think about that, Cali Yarncroc? Oh, that's going to be a tough one, right? Calling
at least a month.
Yarny for a month is going to have an impact. Yeah, that sucks, but it gives somebody else an opportunity to step up. Comment on Mr. Yarncroc's absence for what you say is going to be at least a month, maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a knuckle. It's not a broken finger. So, I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know, that's more difficult than just like a broken finger like Giordano had. I would say probably closer to 6 weeks. Now, you're lucky that 1 week will be the All-Star break, but that probably means he's not back until early March. It's a loss. Luckily, it's not during the playoffs. Obviously, you know, he's a very versatile guy. He can play second power play, second penalty kill, left wing, right wing, top six, bottom six. He's all over the place. So
he takes his place.
Well, last night it was Nick Robertson stepping up on the third line.
There you go.
And Nick Robertson, I have to say, it's like there is a higher level of confidence. And this was before the Yarncroc injury with Robertson. I think it's deserved. I mean, he's got, I think it's 7 goals in less games than Tyler Bertuzzi and less ice time than Tyler Bertuzzi does. So this kid has goal scoring ability. The question has been durability. And he has shown that so far this year. He is showing a lot of hustle. Sheldon Keefe played him over 17 minutes against Winnipeg. He didn't play as much last night, but he played well. Yeah. And I think he's going to get an opportunity. If he can continue to put the puck in the net and provide secondary offense, I almost think that he's a better fit as a top six, but the problem is that defensively he's been a liability to prevent him from being put into the top six, but maybe they give him, they sprinkle it here or there and see what happens. He played with Matthews in the overtime on Wednesday and they almost scored one. He set him up for an almost goal and then got an assist on the game winning goal. So they have to, this is the marching orders for this team from now until the end of the season. Find out what you have in Nyes, Robertson, Wall, Liljegren, your young guys. You need to find that out.
Mike, you said it best during our last show, OG's Converts. Anyone new to the project, you can check it out. YouTube.com/community. And you can go through all of our catalog dating back six seasons. You said it best. This is a season of discovery, Mike, and it's concurrent to a season that still has to have some kind of accomplishment, right? Giovanni Mizzi, Mikey, Willie will show up in the playoffs, one of the only players who does. Well, Giovanni, if your guy shows up and the rest of the team does not, it's going to be more of the same damn thing, right? So, it's a coincidence that William Nylander has cooled off after signing that contract. I still think that he is going to finish either tops or second in scoring. And that would be a great accomplishment for him. The hope is that with all the money he's going to be making, paid to him by the Maple Leafs over the next 8 years, that he continues to play the way he is playing in general this season for many more years to come to earn that money, so that, you know, we're not having these conversations about William Nylander in a few years being, you know, really disappointed in just how much he's committed to the guy and how he is not fulfilling the obligation. So we'll leave that conversation for down the line. Right now, let's be happy about what's gone on. Mike, last word to you.
Yeah, I just love the fact that William Nylander's playoff credentials have been defined by what he did last year. Whereas the previous year against Tampa Bay, remember when he didn't hustle he straight-legged it when hustling for a puck because he'd had to go into the corner with Nick Paul. Or the year before, he played well against Montreal, but the year previous to that, he didn't play well. I mean, okay, it's not like he's Brian Trottier. You know,
you're going to frame the argument, Mike. If you dislike a player or you love a player, you're going to frame the argument to benefit you and, you know, what you're trying, the point you're trying to make.
Yeah, you know who the leading scorer in the first round of the playoffs last year was? Mitch Marner. Okay, everybody played badly against Florida, but you know, and Matthews and Marner have gone up and down and pretty much mostly down. But this is the thing. It's selective memory when it comes to certain players, and certain players have shined over others in the postseason. But it's not like they're all of a sudden Conn Smythe Trophy winners. If they were, this team would have made it past the first round more than once over the last 6 or 7 years.
There is a comment in community, youtube.com/theleafscombo/community. I don't know where it went, but it had to do with Mitch Marner. And this just goes to show you the vitriol that is directed towards him these days. One of the commenters suggesting that Marner be waived. It's amazing.
I won't even address that because it's the ultimate in stupidity.
Right. The latest poll in community, just checking that out. Before the Leafs and Jets engaged in their home and home, the question was, do you think the Leafs sweep the home and home with the Jets? And actually, this poll came in after the Leafs won the overtime victory in Toronto. And 170 respondents showed up for this, and 53% did not believe the Leafs would close it out the way they did last night. Mm-hmm. Kind of down the middle. There's still that hope that the Leafs can get on a bit of a run, and then everyone else thinks that, you know, the Reaper is lurking. And that's just kind of the quintessential Leaf fan, right? There's the internal hope, but there's the external frustration with how things take place. Mike, what are you going to do for the next week and a bit? The Leafs aren't back in action until February 5th at the All-Star festivities in Toronto. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, well, I know I'll be looking at like some of the prospects in the Leaf organization, how they're faring so far. And I'm probably going up for the All-Star festivities up in Toronto. You know, so I'll get the general feel of the lay of the land, as you know, four Leaf players will be playing in the festivities up at Scotiabank Arena.
Right. Oh, handshake line respect. You don't just check the points. You watch the game. Marner racked up his points early, then went back to Houdini. That hole that he led the team in points in the playoffs is a joke. Oh my God. Again, this is just dislike and disdain for a guy. That's it's that simple. It's a handshake line. If Mitch Marner has a great playoff, the Leaf team goes to the conference finals and he's the leading scorer and does really well, will you like him again?
Yeah, as soon as Mitch Marner is gone from this team, handshake. Oh, we need a guy like Mitch Marner.
Yeah, it's crazy. But this is where we're at, though, Mike, and I'll leave it with this. This is where we're at in the evolution of this group. If this team had gone to conference finals with this group leading the way, maybe winning, getting really close to winning, still on the precipice, the cusp of finally making it happen, we wouldn't be having these discussions. We wouldn't be singling players out for playoff failures or what we viewed to be playoff failures years and years gone by. We wouldn't be solely focused on one guy for the reason we are fans. We would be looking at the entire composition of the team and what needs to take place to get this group over the edge to win a championship. We're just not there, right? We've kind of stalled as a fan base. The team is kind of stalled in terms of its progression. So here we are. We're looking for people to shit on. We're looking for people to dislike. We're looking for people to use as scapegoats. And the sad thing is we're choosing players and individuals who would be coveted and wanted by just about everyone else, right? Yeah. But again, that's where we are. In terms of now, a three-game win streak for the Maple Leafs, Ilya Samsonov backstopping all of the wins. We have a nice little break. It could have been a lot worse going into this break. Enjoy the All-Star festivities in the Mecca of hockey. And let's hope the Leafs can get on a bit of a run with more guys contributing. Everybody kind of, coming to the fore to make things happen towards in this last foray as we approach the playoffs. And then go from there. MikeHockeyBuzz.com. You're going to have more stuff up soon?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, listen, we appreciate everything you do for this project and everything you do at HockeyBuzz.com. If you do get up to Toronto for the All-Star festivities, travel safe and have an absolute blast. And I think, Mike, you and I will probably reconvene here sometime this coming week. OG's Converts, like the content, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate you very much. Hey, Spike 11, Marner, All-Star Game MVP. I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, John Scott was, so that's not exactly.
if he's wearing his suit and doing the gritty and all that shit, if I tune in and I see that, I'll never watch another damn All-Star game again. Mike, oh, real quick, who wins these conference championships today?
Baltimore and San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm done with the Chiefs. And I'd like to see the Lions get in, but
I'd like to see the Lions get in too. But San Francisco is really good.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, for Mike, I'm Norm. Guys, enjoy yourselves. We'll see you soon. The Leafs Combo is out.